scriptures. We're turning now to Mark. Four gospel accounts, one gospel, four different angles. Mark chapter 10. Beginning the new year, focusing on a particular theme. Hopefully we'll begin another book to exposit beginning next week. Perhaps Titus at this point. I've been poised to speak from Titus. Love that text in chapter 1, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. What a great promise. Mark chapter 10. We'll commence at verse 32. They were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Not that they were on their high horse with themselves. They hadn't thought of it before the 2 did. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Our text is verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Just wanted to ask the simple question, why has Christ come? It's an important question for 2021 because there are residual effects if the Son of God has come to earth. He came into this world, we were told. He came unto his own. Is there any evidence as we embark upon a new year that Jesus has come? Is there a footprint? Is there a fingerprint? May I say, his age is given to us roughly when we write 2021. How old are you? How old am I? But Jesus as a human being is over 2,000 years old. That's an interesting thought. He's not as old as Abel. He's not as old as Abraham and David. But he's 2,021 years old, give or take, we know, a few years. No one else had the calendar changed in that way. And you know, we were talking about this in the youth moment. People's presence is discovered by the evidence of a footprint, a fingerprint, a DNA, or even a tire print. Do we have Jesus' prints? Do we have any evidence that he has come? Well, we have some forensic evidence. We have many copies dating all the way back to some of them dating back to the first century and second century of people that wrote about Jesus and quoted the Lord Jesus and who were with him and people that knew those who knew Jesus, those who spoke to John and other apostles who had seen and heard and been with Jesus. So we have manuscript evidence, copies, thousands of copies, not just a few from the first and second century, but you have many copies, people being concerned that the words of Jesus and the words of those about Jesus would be preserved for the generations to come. But the Lord Jesus told us his main purpose. Oh, there are many, many purposes, if you will, why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to do his Father's will. He came to bear witness to the truth, you remember, that he told Pilate. He came even to send variance or to produce hostility between people in a household, in a family, to show the difference between the sons of God and the sons of the devil. But his main purpose is stated several times, and this text in verse 45 gives us that main purpose. Why did Jesus come? Why has Jesus come? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. 2 Timothy says it this way, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We read in our parallel reading earlier, Luke 19, it's also found in Matthew 18, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He clearly states his purpose. And he says earlier in Matthew, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance and to salvation. And so we are given a very clear reason. And I want us to go back to the basics as we begin this new year. Why has Christ come? And we need to convey that to one another and to lost souls, that Christ has come and left his footprint, his fingerprint. He has come to do a work of salvation, and he will not fail. This afternoon, hoping to ponder, has Christ's coming been successful? And there's a great text in the same gospel that indicates that Jesus' coming was not in vain. Why has Christ come? Three simple thoughts. He came, verse 45, to make a vicarious sacrifice. A long word for substitutionary sacrifice. That little word for. To give his life a ransom for many. That's a word that signifies substitution. In the place of many souls. It's used in Matthew 2. We considered this last week. That Herod's son came in the room of his father. In the room is the translation of this little preposition. He came in the place of Herod, his father. He was his substitute. Herod had passed. Luke 11, will a father give four a fish instead of a fish? Will he give his son a serpent, a snake? And so you see that it's a word that signifies in the place of, substitution. It's the same idea, though a different word. It has this preposition on the front of the word. Remember Jesus asks that terrifying question, he's actually making a statement. When someone perishes and is in hell, is the idea, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can he now give in exchange for his soul being in prison? But what is more precious than a soul, as we're told in the Psalms? I love that three-point outline that the great Baptist from Northern Ireland, Willie Mullen, used when he was preaching about Christ. He said, Christ is the unchanging, the exchanging, and the all-changing God. And so he meant by unchanging, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He meant by exchanging that he offered his life as a substitutionary offering. His life instead of ours. And all changing because of the fact that he was God and he exchanged, that he was able to change sinners into saints. Great thought, isn't it? Unchanging, the unchanging, the exchanging, and the all changing God. Has he changed you? Has he changed me? The Bible speaks of us being born again and being new creatures. But Jesus is saying, my life instead of yours. He had to agree. There was no argument between the Father and the Son, between the Trinitarian persons. The only way that fallen human sinners could be saved was by the exchanging of Christ, his people. Substitutionary atonement. See, God has a prison. He has to punish criminals. So there are two options legally for God to choose from. Substitutionary atonement, that the Son in the Trinity could become a human being and die in the place, live in the place, and die in the place of sinners, or personal punishment. That's it. He has to punish sinners personally in his prison, just like we have to punish prisoners or criminals. Why do we have prisons? We say, is the main reason rehabilitation? There wouldn't need to be any bars if all that was needed was rehabilitation. There's punishment involved. So God has a prison. So there has to be personal punishment, but there was the other option of substitutionary atonement, where another would bear our sentence legally for us, would be legal. You say, how could it be fair for someone to bear my punishment as a murderer or as a thief or as a blasphemer or as a liar? Well, the Bible describes it as imputation of our sins to Him. It's not just a matter of a word, but the Son of God would have to become a man and bear our sins into His body on the tree. He would have our sins, the guilt. How is this? It's invisible, but it's real. How is it that my sins, my guilt and my sins would be transferred, debited to the Lord Jesus Christ? And His righteousness would be credited, imputed, reckoned to me. Isn't that an amazing work of God? It's an amazing, it's forensic, it's real, it's literal, it's powerful, it's effective. It's the gospel. It's genius for a sinner to be saved by the substitutionary life and death of Jesus Christ. The shedding of blood is either spelling condemnation or justification. Condemnation if the sinner dies, dares to die without a mediator. But justification if Christ is our substitute. God is a prison, but thank God that He has a paradise. As Jesus said to that robber, not just a thief, but we believe He was a murderer, as He was a robber, assaulted, if not murdered someone, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But for the other one on the cross, on the other side of Jesus, the words came to his soul, today you will be in prison. Went out of prison to the cross, but into a prison that he'll only exit to stand before a holy God. Vicarious atonement. He came to make a vicarious sacrifice. Secondly, he came to give a valuable offering. Valuable. Rams and bulls were costly as pictures of Christ as the offering. But Christ Himself is given for us. Christ comes low in the dust from which man is made. He comes to serve. He comes to minister for us, such service, so that we could be saved. Why do people serve others? To enrich someone? To appease someone? To repay someone? Christ has come to serve God and to serve His people, to enrich us with salvation, to appease the Father's wrath, to repay what we owe God. We are debtors. What a valuable sacrifice. He didn't offer a beast. He became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. To give His soul, His life, a ransom. It was the life of Jesus. And His life had to spill out. The Bible says very clearly, He gave up His soul. He gave up His spirit to God. And He died. The life of Jesus. Why a soul in the place of a soul? Because man is soul. Man's soul. We are not merely flesh. We have a soul made in the image of God. And the soul has to suffer for sin. And Jesus suffered physically, He suffered mentally, He suffered spiritually for you and me. Why a ransom? A payment. What a valuable payment. To save from God's righteous wrath, from sin's just punishment, from hell's separation from God forever, from Satan's deceit. You see, every person who's ever converted is undeceived in some way. The devil has deceived the nations, but Christ has come to undeceive us. It was a free, it's a free offering, but it's so costly to you and me, for you and me. He gave up His life, a ransom. And thank God Christ came to cause a vast salvation, to make a vicarious sacrifice. Jesus came to give a valuable offering Himself. But it says that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Many. Don't you love that word, many? Would we have been included if there were just a few? Not a few. Not eight, as in the ark. This is the word used, that the harvest truly is plenteous. That's Jesus' word. He's come to save many. Revelation 7:9, a great multitude that no one could number. In Hebrews 2:10, His purpose was to bring many sons into glory. And in Hebrews 9, to bear the sins of many. You know, we've noticed that the president has pardoned people lately. And the count seems to be that he's pardoned about 70 or more people in his 4 years of... Is that legal? Yes. Is it right for him to do that? He has power of an earthly, temporary sort. But the crimes are unpaid. And they await sentencing unless they're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Justice has been denied for many victims by presidential pardon. But Christ saves us justly and faithfully. There's no commutation of the sentence. There's no commuting of the sentence. He doesn't merely reduce the sentence. He takes the sentence Himself. Full payment. And the removal of guilt. So, as 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, we agree with Him that we're sinners. We agree. Not as you hear some people say, well, I'm not a sinner. I don't sin. How can I sin? I'm convalescing. No, if we confess, if we're in agreement, Lord, I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm a coward. Forgive my sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful. That means every time. He's faithful. He's consistent. You can trust that God does not change His mind. You don't have to worry whether He's in the mood for forgiving each day. You know, some of us are so fickle and so changeable that You know people that you got to see if they're kind today or they're in an unkind mood. You got to gingerly approach someone each time. You're not sure if they're a Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. But the Lord is consistent. He promises if we confess our sins every time. He's faithful. But that second word, just. That He was just. He's just to forgive sins. Because Christ died in our place, the sentence has been served by the Lord Jesus Christ. The crime has been wiped off. He has suffered as the worst criminal. He was treated as the worst criminal ever, suffering the wrath of God. And God used many executioners to pummel the Lord Jesus Christ. Soldiers and Jews and people. Pain. A crucifixion. And the wrath of God as Jesus felt there on the cross. God is faithful because Christ has died in our place and given such a valuable sacrifice. God is just to forgive us. The devil can't point his finger to heaven and say, that's unjust. To forgive sinners. What is God's answer to the devil's accusation or attempt to accuse God? The Lord Jesus shows His wounds in His hands, in His side, in His feet. The Lord has taken our place. Are you included in the vast amount of souls saved? Are you included in the many? Oh, be not of the few, as it were. Evidence, you say, that Jesus has come? Abel, Abraham, Esther, Ruth, they're not dead. They're alive. They're in heaven. Heaven is full of those who were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. God was so confident in the work of Christ and so confident in the gospel that He saved people before Christ died. He wasn't worried as people are worried about people who use credit cards only to steal. The evidence is there. Heaven is full of the spirits of just people made perfect. Earth is full of people who've been forgiven. This is a small evidence of the many churches that are in the world today that are living churches. Christ has promised to build His church. And His church is still existent and being built and thriving and being revived. So we read this passage and, you know, Jesus not only came to save sinners, to make them saints, He came to save us from our sins throughout our lives. You read the juxtaposition of the verse in the context. The disciples are bickering. They're full of pride. Who's going to be first in the kingdom? So the Lord not only came to save lost sinners, He came to save us from our sins throughout our life. These disciples needed to be forgiven. And Jesus gave His life a ransom, not just for us when we're unsaved. We plead the vicarious and the valuable and vast sacrifice of Christ today as Christians. The gospel is for you and for me, not just for lost souls. But then we turn and we see blind Bartimaeus and his partner in other passages in need of healing, but in need of salvation. And the Lord Jesus came to save sinners. And we read throughout the Bible, people being saved. Jesus was a substitute for Naaman the Syrian, for Ruth the Moabitess, for Rahab from Jericho, and I believe Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. He came to save sinners from all nations. Blind Bartimaeus, wicked Zacchaeus, Saul of Tarsus. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing that Saul gives evidence of salvation when the Lord changed him from a persecutor of the church to a preacher of the gospel? And you and I trust, are evidence that Jesus has come. Let's never get over the simplicity of the gospel. Let us preach this gospel, that Jesus has come to save sinners. Not to call the righteous, whether those who've already become justified or those who are self-righteous. However you want to look at that, they're both true. 99 that are in the fold, He doesn't have to go searching for them anymore. But for the one that's missing, He goes out and finds and brings back to the fold. Let's keep this simple gospel in our hearts. And let's share it. Jesus is our substitute. What a valuable substitute He is. The Son of God become man and gave His life. And thank God that He loves to save many souls. He's generous with His salvation. May the Lord bless this simple word today.